Okay, Rabbi Yisrael. Today is Brachos Daf Chaf Dalet. We are on the bottom of Chaf Gimel Amud Beis. How many lines up here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines up. Bo Mine Rav Yosef Breid Rav Chanunya Mirav Yehuda. Rav Yosef asked the following shayla. Ma'u she'aniach adam tefilav tachas marashu sov. What's the halacha? Can a person leave his tefillin under his head? I mean, under his pillow, the maisa, to keep them safe. Tachas margalosav lo kama bayale. Not under his feet, so he's not asking. That's not a kasha. Because shenoig behen minag bizoyon, because that's a bizoyon. That's already inappropriate. But ki kama bayale tachas margalosav marai. But what about underneath his pillow, underneath his head? Amalei Hacham or Shmuel said the following: Mutar afilo ishto imo. It's mutar even if your wife is with you in the bed. It's still mutar to put your tefillin under your pillow between your pillow and your mattress. Meisve asked you a question on that. Lo yaniach adam tefillo tachas margalosav b'peishinog behem b'minat derech bizoyon. Now you're not allowed to put your tefillin under your feet because that's a bizoyon. That's inappropriate. Avol benichon tachas marashosav, but you're allowed to put it underneath your head. But if your wife was there with you, aser, then it's aser, right? It's against what Shmuel said. If you had a place which is a little bit above your head or a little bit below your head, gimel tvachim, so then it's mutter. Tiyofta de Shmuel tiyofta. That is clearly against Shmuel shita. That im haisa ishto imo, then it is aser, right? Shmuel said it was mutter even if his wife is in the bed with him. Amarava, afal gav tanya tiyufta deshmol tiyufta halach ilchus akiva say. According to Rava says, even though it's a tiyufta deshmol, the halacha is still like him. So Gemara says, my time. Well, what's the reason? Kol l'niturinhu tfei adif. Any way you can protect your tefillin is better. Meaning, if that's the best way you can protect your tefillin, so we're going to allow you to do that. Because Lamaisa, that was, I guess, the most secure place. Right? Even though it's a shtigl bizayon, if you're going to keep it from, Rashi writes, from rats or from thieves, so it's better than if you leave it out in a bizayon digga place, but it could get stolen. Okay. Veicha manach lehu, where should you put it? Where exactly should you put it? Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah bein kar lekesis, between the pillow and the mattress. Shalom keneged rosho, not right underneath your head. But didn't Rabbi Chiya teach us? Right, you could put it in the covering, in the tefillin bag, underneath your head. As Gemara says, topically, the morsha v'kova levar. That morsha is like the bulge, the part of the tefillin bag that's sticking out, right, where the tefillin is, of the kova, of the tefillin bag, levar, is on the outside. Is a little bit right underneath your pillow, but like kind of like sticking out. Bar kafra tzirulu. Bar Kafra wrapped his tefillin bechilta in a cloth. Umapik lemorshahon levar, and they did exactly the same thing. You put the part that stuck out, the bulge that's right outside of the pillow. He kind of stuck it off to the right. Okay. Rav Shisha Breid Ravidi Monaklu Ashra Shisha. No idea. Ashra Shisha Shifa. He put it in on a stool, like on a little bench. Who pour a sudra alayhu and put a handkerchief or a cloth or whatever it is on top of it to have like a second covering, almost. Amar Rav Nuna Bereid Rav Yosef. Zim dechada hava kamina kamida Rava. Rav Nuna says, I was once in front of Rava. Amar Lin, he said to me, Zil, I see li tefillin. He said, go bring me my tefillin. Vashke chasinu ben karlakasas. Shalom keneged. Rosho, and I found it between his pillow and his mattress, right, a little bit off to the side, not where his head would be. Vava yadana, and I knew, he happened to have known, diyom tefil hava, that was the day that his wife was supposed to go to the mikvah. So, I mean, how did he know that? I mean, why would anybody share that? Lagmuran hilchasa lemaisa hu da'avad. To make sure, and again, why would Rava share all this information? To teach him the halacha, that this is the actual halacha, that... That's when you are allowed to do that. You're allowed to put the tefillin in that place. B'amine Rav Yosef Breider Rav Nechunya Mer Rav Yehuda. Rav Yosef asked Rav Yehuda, Shnayim sheyishenim b'mita achas ma'u. If you have two people who are sleeping in a bed, ma'u shezeh yachzir panav v'yikr kriyashma, v'zeh yachzir panav v'yikr kriyashma. are both of them allowed to say Kriya Shema? Are both of them allowed to turn their head, kind of like put their backs to each other, and say Kriya Shema? Right? Again, what's the shaila? The shaila is that both of them happen to be naked, and it's very hot, or they didn't have pajamas, or whatever it is, and they're both sleeping in one bed, and they are naked. Are they allowed to say Kriya Shema if they're facing away from each other? So Amalei Hakam Shmuel, right? What did Shmuel say? Afilo Ish Da'imo, right? You're allowed to say Kriya Shema, right? Even if your wife is in bed. Again, we said that Afilo Ish Da'imo was the kasha of tefillin right underneath your pillow. But Lamaisa, right? Rashi writes. Hold on one second. Where's that Bach? Right, Shmuel said, "Afilu ish da'imo," that even if your wife is there, so there's no, we're not concerned about it being inappropriate. So apparently, you are allowed if you're allowed when your wife is there, kal v'chomer when anybody else is there. So Maskev letter of Yosef. Rav Yosef said the following: the ish tov lo mibaya acher. Right, what are you telling me? It's mutter if your wife is with you, and certainly it's mutter if someone else is with you. Either rabba, the opposite is more logical. Why? Because ish tov kegufo. Achar lafke gufo. A fascinating application of the concept of ishto kegufo, that you're very familiar with your wife. You're used to, Rashi writes, ragil ba, you're used to having her sleep right there. Veleka hirhur kulehai, and there's not as much hirhur, right? And unfortunately, we had the idea of mayim gnuvim mintaku, that, forbidden waters are sweeter. That's very often a person will get used to his wife. And perhaps if he's sleeping in the same bed with somebody else, that might be more of a hirhur, right, says Rav Yosef. So it doesn't make sense logically that if it's mutter for you to say Kriya Shema with your wife there, it's not necessarily, right, again, Shmuel's logic was kal v'chomer if someone else is there, it's mutter, right, because there's less of a hirhur. But says Rav Yosef, no, there could be more of a hirhur when you're not with your wife, when you're with someone else, because, you're used to what your wife looks like, etc., etc. So that's a machlokes Rav Yosef and Shmuel. Meisave, ask you a question. Shnayim sheishenim v'mita achas. Two people are lying in one bed. Zemachzer panav v'korei v'zemachzer panav v'korei. Right, you can turn the opposite directions and say Kriya Shema. V'tani achrisi, and there's another brisa. Hayashen v'mita ubona v'vnedeso b'tzido, and you're sleeping in the same bed, and your family is with you, according to the second brisa, you're not allowed to say Kriya Shema, unless there's some sort of clothing between each person. Right, so apparently you see that it's not mutter for you just to turn your head and turn opposite directions and say Kriya Shema. But however, right, just parentheses, if the people in your bed were ketanim, then it's mutter. So the Gemara, so this is the Meisave. Bishlama, I understand, L'Rav Yosef, right, how do you understand the difference in brises? The first brises said, if two people are sleeping in a bed, so you can just turn your face, you can kind of turn the other direction and say Kriya Shema. The second one said, you're not allowed to do that. It's only mutter to say Kriya Shema if there are clothing in between each person. So according to Rav Yosef and Shmuel, how do you understand the difference in those brises? So Bishlama, L'Rav Yosef, I understand according to Rav Yosef, who says that it's mutter for your wife, but not for other people. So lo kasha, because haba ishto haba acher, right? One, by ishto, it's mutter, but by someone else, it's not mutter. That's the difference in brises. The first brisa is your wife when it's mutter, and the second brisa, which says it's usher, that's talking about an acher. But the shmuel kasha, but the shmuel, how does shmuel reconcile those two brises? Shmuel says, it's mutter if you say Kriya Shema if your wife is in your bed, and certainly if someone else is there. So what does he do with the other brisa? Right, one brisa said mutter, one brisa said aser. So Amar lecha Shmuel, the Rav Yosef, Shmuel said back to Rav Yosef, mi nicha. What, is it really good for you? Sometimes the Gemara does this, right? Shmuel doesn't really have a defense, right? So he'll just say, well, it doesn't work out for you either. So he does that also here. But does it really work out for Rav Yosef? Vatani, we learned in a brisa, haya yashin b'mita uvana uvnei beso b'mita. Right, he has everybody and his family is in the bed. Lo yikra Kriya Shema. Elim kein hayisa talisa mafsakes b'neihem. Right, you can't say Kriya Shema unless there are clothing there. Right, what is included in b'nei beso? Right, Bonov, his children, and b'nei beso, the people in his house, that's obviously including his wife. Right, and that brisa says that it's usher. So it doesn't work out for Rav Yosef either, because Rav Yosef, according to Rav Yosef, right, they were saying that ishto is mutter, and acher is meaning according to Rav Yosef, that brisa was referring to acherim, but that brisa says specifically, right, bnei beso, which implies your wife. So you can't attribute that brisa as being talking about other people, because it literally says bnei beso must be talking about his wife. Elamai ischal meimar. What are you supposed to say? How do you reconcile the two brises? So ishtel Rav Yosef tanahi ledidi nami tanahi. Rav Yosef and Shmuel simply say that it's a machlokas tanaim between these brises, whether it's mutter to say kriyas shma when your wife is there. Okay, fine. Omar Mar, we said, Mar said the following, Zemach Serpanu V'Korei Kriyas Shema, right, you can turn your back, you can kind of face different directions and say Kriyas Shema. Vayika Agavos, what about the tush? What about the buttocks? So I'm going to say, hey, Leila Rav Huna, so it's approved through Rav Huna, Dam Rav Huna, Agavos in Behem Mishum Erva. There is no Indian of Erva by the tush. Leima M'Saye Leila Rav Huna, maybe that's approved for Rav Huna. Maybe let's bring a proof for Avuna's Shita that the Tush is not an Isser of Erva. A very obscure proof, but it proves the Gemara tries to prove the point from here. Ha'isha Yoshevis Vakotala Chalasa Aruma. A woman is sitting on the floor, and for whatever reason, she's naked and she's taking Truma. It's very, very hot. Right, it's a Chamsin, and she's taking Truma. Sorry, she's taking challah. She's separating challah from the bread, from the dough that she's making, and she is naked. And the Mishnah says that in challah that she's allowed to do it when she's naked, because she's able to cover her face in the ground. Now, obviously, it doesn't mean her face. It's lashon naki. It's using a clean language. It means her private area. She's able to cover a private area in the ground. Rashi says, what's the problem? You can't take challah when you're exposed. So Rashi says, no, it's an Indian of bracha. Right, it's a problem. She's able to say the bracha. Right, Rashi writes, "Avol pisha erum asa arum asa levarich." Right, even though someone who's naked is not able to say a bracha, so this woman can do that because she's covering a private area in the ground. Avalo ha'ish, but a man cannot do the same thing because lamaisa, a woman can cover her private area in the ground and it won't show, but a man has obviously much more difficulty with that. So Gemara, so that should be approved because Lamaisa, if a woman is covering a private area in the ground, so her tush is showing. So apparently there is no inyan of erva, right, by a tush, and Lamaisa, you're able to say a bracha, right, if your tush is showing. So Targumar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak said it's not actually a good proof because Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak said that Mishnah is kigon shaya panat togas bakarka, where she was actually buried in the ground there, so the whole lower part. Was her whole lower area was kind of like, you know, you go to the beach and people get dug underneath and I don't know, how do they break out? I guess people dig them out. So actually, her whole lower body was covered and that's not a proof one way or another whether the tush is considered erva or not. Amar mar. Right? We said before that if the people in your bed are ketanim, then it's mutter for you to say kriyishma. Ad kama. How old is that? Define ketanim for me. A girl who is either 3 years old, a girl who is 3 years old in one day, and a boy who is 9 years old in one day. Right? We know Chazal halachically that's the age at which a person is roy libya. So the determining factor according to Rav Chista is that if the katan and the katana is roy libya, so it's now no longer mutar for you to say kriyas shema if you're with them in the bed and everybody is naked. Some people say no. What's the threshold? Tinokus pas yud aleph shana v'yom echad v'tinok ben shtemisre shana v'yom echad. That no, the cutoff is for a girl 11 years and for a boy 12 years. And idi v'idi ad kadei shadayim nachonu v'sarich tameach. And according to that amad amar, they're going according to the opinion that said that when the person starts showing signs of puberty, that already is the cutoff, and that's the Rashi writes Zman shehin boos l'chal saros. Right, when a person starts growing hairs all over his body, so that's really the cutoff for when you're allowed to say Kriyas Shema or not. Amalei Rav Kahana l'Rav Ashi. Rav Kahana asked Rav Ashi, Hosam Amarava afagav detiyot nishmol hilchos hakavasei nishmol. Right, on Amar Beis, we said that the halacha, according to Shmuel, right, we said you're allowed to put your tefillin underneath your pillow. Right, we said afilu ishto imo. We brought a proof against that, and Rava said even though we brought a proof against it, the halacha is like Shmuel, that you are allowed to put your tefillin there underneath your pillow, even if your wife is in bed with you. But over here, when Shmuel says, afilo ishto imo, that you're allowed to say Kriya Shema when your wife is in bed with you, what's the halacha? Hachamai, is that true that we pass it like Shmuel here also, or not? So Amalei, atu kulu b'chada b'chada mechatinu. What, are you telling me that you're grouping all these halachas together? You don't, just because we have the halacha by tefillin, doesn't necessarily mean we, the halacha is the same by Kriya Shema. So Elohecha de Itmar, Itmar ve'Hecha de lo Itmar, lo Itmar. Wherever Rava said the halacha is like Shmuel, he said it, and where he didn't, so he didn't. So don't necessarily lump those two together. Amalei, Rav Mari, Rav Papa. Sear yotze bebigdo mahu. What about pubic hair? If a person's pubic hair is sticking out, is that considered erva, or is the person allowed to say Kriya Shema, brachos, etc.? So karalea sear sear. So he said to him, what's hair? Hair is nothing. So hair is not relevant to the discussion. Amar Rav Yitzchak. Rav Yitzchak says the following, a pretty well known halacha: tefach beisha erva. That a tefach with a woman is considered an erva. Now, people are familiar, perhaps a bit of a misnomer, with Rav Moshe Feinstein's tshuva that a tefach for a woman's hair is mutter, meaning tefach b'ishto erva, but not less than that. So if you have less than a tefach of hair, so then it's mutter for a woman to show that much hair. What people don't know, I think, if I'm not mistaken, is that it's not... So people will assume that, oh, you take a tefach, which is a fistful, and your hair, you know, you can have the hair covering all the way back. Almost, that's almost like halfway up the skull. So it's not actually... It's not length. It's square feet. So it's not the entire... It's not like you take a ruler and you measure a tefach back. It's a square on top of the head, meaning it's much, much less. Because you have to take the entirety of the hair that is exposed, and if that combines to a tefach, I guess I'm not good at math, but if it's a square foot tefach, or a square tefach, whatever it is, so that would be the shear. So it's much, really much, much less than I think the common perception is. But anyway, Rav Yitzchak Shita is tefach b'isho erva. So lamai, so the Gemara says, for what halacha is that for? Ilema les taklibo, if you're telling me you're allowed to look at less than the tefach of a woman, right, and that's mutter. So Gemara says, what are you talking about? Rav Sheshes says, and this whole thing is going to prove that you're not allowed to look at any part of a woman. Lama mona akosuv tachshiten shebechutz, im tachshiten shebefnim. Why did the pasuk compare, or count, really, is better. Why did the pasuk list the inner tachshitim, the inner jewelry with the outer jewelry? That's referring to a pasuk by Midian, when the Jews destroyed Midian and brought back spoils of war. So the Torah lists all these different types of jewelry. Some of them are inside the body, not inside the body, but underneath the clothing, and some of them are outside. So why does the Torah list all of them? Lo mar lecha kol mistakel be'etzba katana shel isha kilu mistakel b'makom ha'toref. To say that anybody who looks at any single part of a woman, even if it's the tiniest finger, so that's as if, and i.e. derives pleasure from it, and has hana, and uses it for improper thoughts, so that's as if you looked at her most private area, her most private parts. Right? Again, where do you get that from? The psukim? Because one of the things that are listed in the pasuk is, I think, a kumaz. And I think a kumaz, yeah, Rashi, that's what Rashi writes. Kumaz is this crazy, crazy type of jewelry that the Midianite women used to have. Just to translate Rashi as I read it, they used to cover the Beis HaRechem, I guess that's the womb and the private area, and they would actually pierce the walls of the womb and cover the private area with a type of jewelry, to almost like a chastity belt, like what's a princess bride, right? Anyway, that's a reference for back in the day. Anyway, so Lamaisa, to cover that was a jewelry that was worn on the inside, and it also lists jewelry that was on the outside. So that's how the Gemara makes that comparison. That just like, you know, if you took a pinky ring and you looked at that and that derived you pleasures, that would also give you gave you pleasure. That would be inappropriate, just as if you looked at the kumaz, which is on the private area of a woman. All right, and anyway, so Gemara says. Right, so meaning it's impossible that back to our topic, when Rav Yitzchak said that tefach b'ishto erva, it's impossible that he was saying that you're allowed to look at up to a woman's, you know, a tefach of a woman's body, because anything is usur. Any looking at any part of the woman's body is usur, even her little pinky. Ella beishto ul kriyashma. Rather, what's the halacha? It's referring to kriyashma. Right? When your wife has something, right? Rashi writes, if something is revealed, if something is open in tefach megula ba lo yikra kriyashma kenegda. For whatever reason, your wife is undressed up to a tefach of her body, so then it is inappropriate for you to say kriyashma right there. Amar Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda writes, shok beisha erva. That this is a chokas in terms of what a shok is, but shok literally means a leg, whether it's the upper part of the leg or lower part of the leg, thigh or the calf. Right, either way, it's erva shenamar gali shuk avrei nara suksiv tagel ervascha vagam tira mechar pasecha. Okay, fine. Amar Shmuel kol beisha erva. Right, a woman's voice is considered erva shenamar ki kolich arev umarech naveh. Right, your appearance is beautiful and your voice is sweet. So that again, kol is considered to be erva. That's the whole Indian of kol isha. There it is, right in Gemara. Amar Rav Sheshes sayar beisha erva. Even a woman's hair is considered erva shenamar as Malik says sayarecha keider hazim. It's a praise for women in Shir Shirim that your hair is beautiful. Okay. Amar Rabbi Chanina, Ani Raisis Rabbi Shetala Tfilov. Rabbi Chanina says, I saw Rabbi hang his tefillin on like a peg or a wall or like a coat hanger or something. Unbelievable. Mesve, what are you talking about? I'll ask you a question from a Braisa. Atola Tfilov Yitlu Lo Chayov. Someone who hangs their tefillin, can you imagine? It's disrespectful, terrible. The Braisa says, Yitlu Lo Chayov. You should hang his life. Meaning you suspend his life. Dorshe Chamuros Amru, the people who are Dorish very, very well, the secrets, Rashi writes, people who are Dorish, the secrets of the Torah, things that are unclear, they said, Vayuchayacha Tluyim Lecha Mineged. Zed Tolin Tfilov, right? Your life should be suspended. That's people who hang their tefillin. So how could Rebbe do this? Lokasha, so the Gemara says, it's not a problem. Habarutsua Habakitsisa. Right? If you hang them by the straps, so that's inappropriate. Right? And the boxes are kind of hanging down there, like you hang it by, I don't know, by the, you know, and your boxes are falling downward, so that's inappropriate. But habakitsa, if you kind of put it, you kind of position it where the boxes are on top, so, and I guess not on a peg, but on a, like a little bit of a ledge, so that would be fine. V'boisema, or another answer, lo shna ritsua v'lo shna ktsitsa, that both hanging it from the ritsua or the boxes is aser. V'chitala Rebbe, what did Rebbe do? The kista tala, he hung it in the tefillin bag, right? You've seen perhaps some older tefillin bags. I know my dad has a spare tefillin bag that's kind of like a little pouch with some drawstrings. So if you put it in a patch and hung it by the drawstrings, that's what Rebbe did. That would be mutter. That would be totally fine. So ihachi mein lememra. So obviously that's not bizayin of the tefillin. Tefillin's in a tefillin bag. You hang it from the straps. What's it, from the drawstring? What's the big deal? So my detainment, you might have thought tibay hanacha kisefer Torah. No, you might have thought that tefillin would, because it's davar shebekdusha, has a ksiva inside of it, has a ksav. You might have thought you need to put it down appropriately, like a sefer Torah. There's a dinah. You have to put a sefer Torah on a bima. Right? You can't just hang a sefer Torah. So you might have thought the same thing applies to tefillin. Kamash malan, it's not true. All right. Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina said, "Ani ra'isi Rabbi. I saw Rabbi that while he was davening, gihek upihek v'nisatesh v'rok, or v'rak. Anyway, he would burp, he would yawn, he would sneeze, he would spit. Stomach not all at the same time, but he would do those things. From the page on the base, u'mashmesh b'bigdo, and he would feel around on his clothes. Rashi writes to make sure he could take out the lice. He would squash the bugs." Avalah, right? It was gross back in the day. Avalah haya misatef, but he wouldn't cover himself. Rashi writes, if his talus fell off, right, Rebbe would not stop to pick it up and cover himself, because that would be a real hefsek. Okay, I think nowadays the minhag certainly is to pick up your talus, but it seems like that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. I have to look it up if that's actually the halakha. Maybe if your talus falls off, you should continue Shmon Esrei. Okay. Ukshumafahek, and when he would yawn, Hayamaniach Yodo al Sintaro, he would put his hand over the opening of his mouth, right? Because that was, again, as Rashi writes, the Shalom Tira Psychas Piv, that was inappropriate for the, you know, when you're davening, right? You wouldn't show, you know, any king the inside of your mouth, so Rebbe as well. Meisvei asks you a question, Hamashmiya Kolo, but Filoso, Hareze, Miktani, Amuna, right? We're going to get to the Meisvei in a second, but I'll bring you a question from a Braisa. The Braisa says, if you raise your voice when you're davening, that's from people who have less emuna, right? It's as if Hashem can't hear you, right? You have the story about Eliyahu and Har Carmel, so he would make fun of the Nevi'im of the Baal. Raise your voice, maybe the Baal can't hear you. So what, we're going to daven and we're going to scream as if kibyochol chas v'shalom Hashem can't hear us? It's not appropriate. Hamabia kolo b'tfiloso, if you raise your hamashmiya kolo b'tfiloso, that's if you hear your voice when you're davening, that's inappropriate. And if you raise your voice when you're davening, harei zeh v'dvi'ei sheker. Ah, that's the comparison to Eliyahu. Sorry. And if you raise your voice when you're davening, so that's what you're considered a Navi Sheker, because Eliyahu, as I said, made fun of the Nevi'im of the Baal. So raise your voice. And now here's the question against Rabbi. Megahek u'mefahek, if you're burping or you're yawning, harei zeh migaseh ruach. They say that's you're a Baal Gaiva, if you do that when you're davening. Hamesatesh b'tfilaso, and if you pass, I think this is if you sneeze. Because the Mesadish is also used if you pass gas. Okay, I'm not sure, I forget. You'll see later on that we use passing Mesadish is passing gas. I think this refers to sneezing. If you sneeze when you're davening, Simon Ralo, that's a bad sign. But V'yesh Omrim, just looking at the Bach, V'yesh Omrim, Nika Shehu Mechuar. It's you're disgusting. Ah, that's right. There's a girsa here that Rashi writes hamagahik v'hamafakik, that if someone does it on purpose, right? Not that if it happens by accident, but if you do it on purpose, then it's inappropriate, right? Because you know you can't control these things. But if you do it on purpose, so then it is certainly inappropriate in the middle of davening. You're considered a baal gaiva. Harek b'tfilaso, if you're spitting, if you have some phlegm when you're davening, ki'ilu rak b'fnei amelech, and you spit it out, right? As if obviously you understand that comparison. It's as if you spit in front of the king. So Bishlam on the guy who fake. So I understand how you can reconcile Rebbe burping and yawning during davening in this price of saying that that's inappropriate. Kind of onso, kind of ritzono. Because Rebbe, he did it onso. That was, you know, he happened against his will, so that's fine. But if you do it on purpose, so then that's totally inappropriate. Elamis adesh, amis adesh kasha. Well, how is that going to work? How is it going to work that Rebbe sneezed? And it was appropriate for him to, but if you sneeze, the Brisa here says it's inappropriate. So that's where the Brisa Gemara makes the chiluk. Hanami lokasha, that's also not a problem. Kan lamala, kan lamata. That above, i.e. sneezing, so that's totally fine. That's what Rebbe did. But passing gas, that's inappropriate. Damar Rebbe Zera, hamilsa evlayeli, beirav hamluna, utkilali, kuli, talmuda. Right, I this is something that I learned in the house of Rav Amnuna, and it's as if it's worth it to me. It's takilu, it's shaveh, it's worth it. It's comparable to all of my learning. If someone sneezes during his davening, so it's a good simon for him. If someone passes gas when he's davening, it's appropriate. It's a good simon. K'shem she'osim lo nachas ruach milamata, kach osim lo nachas ruach milamala. Just like you are more comfortable now down below, so too they should make you not give you nachas ruach above. So we do see that that's okay. Yeah, one second. I guess then that sneezing would be inappropriate and passing gas would be appropriate. Come milamala, come milamata. Yeah, I guess so. Okay. It's fine, I have to check that, but it seems to imply that, according to this brisa, the passing gas is appropriate and sneezing is inappropriate. So what Rebbe did, that was fine, that was passing gas, but sneezing is inappropriate. I'm not sure, though. I have a chazer. I think that's what it implies. Yeah, according to this brisa. Okay, elo, rather, arok kasha. So what do you do with the spitting? So, arok nami lo kasha, there's also no problem with spitting. How do you, Rebbe spit, and this brisa says not to. So, efshar kinder Rebbe Yehuda, because you could do like Rebbe Yehuda suggested. Dama Rebbe Yehuda, haya omid betfilah v'nizdamen lo rok, let's say someone's davening and he has some phlegm, so mavlio betaliso, he can spit it into his talis, into his clothing. Vim talis noahu, but if he's wearing some nice clothing, mavlio ba'afra kasuso, then he can spit it into like his head covering, into like his turban or whatnot, whatever hat he's wearing, or kafia, or whatever he was wearing. Ravina hava, so that would be, you could just spit that out, and that's totally fine. But if you spit on the floor, that's as if you spit in front of a king. Ravina havakoya chore de Rav Ashi. Ravina was davening behind Rav Ashi, and his daven lo rok, and he had to spit. He had some phlegm. Piske la achre, and he spit it behind him. Amaleis just hit the lo saver mayer alahder of Yehuda. Mavliyo ba afra kasuso. Do you not hold what Rav Yehuda said? You can just spit it into your head covering. So Amalei ana anina da soy no. I'm an istanis, and that would be gross for me. So I'm going to spit it behind me, and Lamaisa, apparently that's, I guess for nowadays, rather, obviously we don't spit into our clothing, that's totally inappropriate, we're all considered istanises, so I guess Lamaisa would be appropriate to turn around and spit behind you. Hamashmila kolo b'tfiloso harezi miktani emuna, we said if you can hear your voice when you're davening, you're someone who is lacking emuna. Amar avuna lo shanu ela sheyocho lechaven eslibo belachash. That's only if you can have proper kavana quietly. But if you can't have kavana when you're davening quietly, so then it is mutter for you to daven a little bit louder. And that's only if you're by yourself. But if you're davening b'tzibur, if you're in shul, therefore, you're going to bother the chevra, you're going to annoy the people davening in shul, so then it is certainly inappropriate. Rabbi Abba was he was avoiding Rav Yehuda. Fascinating. Because Rabbi Abba wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael and Rav Yehuda didn't want him to. Dam Rav Yehuda called Ola Mibavel Eretz Yisrael over Ba'aseh. Anybody who makes Aliyah from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, he violates him. Alav Shemar, as the pasuk says, Bavel Yuvo Veshama Yehu Ad Yom Pagdio Samu Hashem. Right, Rav Yehuda held that you have to wait in Golis until Hashem redeems it. Fascinating. There are certainly people who have that shita nowadays as well. But okay, we're not going to get into that. Amar Ezel ve'eshma minei milsa. Right, this shita is being given from Eretz Yisrael, so you can imagine which way I lean. Not that I am a bar hachi here, but certainly there are those who have made aliyah, and baruch Hashem. Amar Ezel ve'eshma minei milsa. So Rabbi Abba thought he would go to the Beis Medrash and hear some Torah. Mibes vada from the base of Medrash, v'hader afik, and then I'll leave. Also, askechil atana the katani kamed Rav Yehuda. He went and he saw that it was a tana that was teaching in front of Rav Yehuda. Hava omi b'tfila umisadesh. What was he teaching? If someone is standing and davening and he passes gas, mamtin ad sheyichla haruach. He should wait until the gas passes. V'chozer mispalel, and then he can go back and daven. Iga da Amri, all other people say it was the following. Let's say you're davening and you need to pass gas. So Marchik La'achrav Dalad Amos U'misadesh, right? You can step away, right? We mentioned that a person can leave, right? You can move when you're davening. It's not crazy to, if you have to do something. Something comes up, halachically, you're allowed to step out of your stance for Shmon Esrei. So you can move Dalad Amos behind, pass gas. And you can wait until the gas passes, and then you can go back and daven. For Omer, you should then say, to as a way of like a tefillah, right, to almost beg forgiveness, Ribono shel Olam Hashem, Yatzartenu Nekavim Nekavim Chalulim Chalulim. You made us with holes all over the body. Galui v'diul lefanecha, Chepasenu Chlimosenu. You know our embarrassment. Bechayenu. Rima, right, in our lives, right, you know our embarrassment in our lives, and the end of our, and at the end of our days, Rima v'tolea, right, we're going to end up with worms in our body, right, and it's almost like, realize, listen, I'm only human, please forgive me, umaschim v'makam shepazak, and he should start from the place where he stopped. Fine. Amar lei, so they said to him, Ilu lo bossy, right? So Rabbi Abba said to this Tana who was teaching Brysas, Ilu lo bossy, Allah Shmuel Dover Zed, die. If I only came to hear this halacha, so it would have been worth it for me to come. Tanu Rabbanan. Hayy Yashim Vitali Sovin Yachal Hotzias Rosham Pinatsina. Let's say it's very, very cold, and you're sleeping underneath your blanket, and you're not able to pick out your head, right? We said you have to have something to be Chotzitz. Certainly between, right, there's a halacha that your heart, or your head, really your heart, should not be able to see, quote-unquote, your erva, right? You should have a belt or something, that's the people have a gartel when they daven, but certainly at least some sort of separation between your heart and your erva. So if you can't stick your head out, or your body out of the blanket because of it's cold. So the Braisa says, Chotzeis Metaliso al Tzavaro v'Kori Krishma. You can bring it up to your head, to your neck. It's kind of, you know, put your talus around your neck and say Krishma. Again, obviously, assuming if you're sleeping naked, so you should bring the blanket up to your neck, and then you should say Krishma. V'yesh omrim al libo. Some people say you should wrap it around your heart. The Tanakama says hari libo roes erva. So what about the Tanakama who says you put the blanket around your neck? Right, so your heart is on the same kind of, you can see quote unquote your erva. So gesalva libo roes erva mutar. So the Tanakama holds simply that is not a problem, and you're allowed to say Krishma in that scenario. If let's say you're walking in disgusting alleyways, you can put your hand over your mouth and say Krishma. Dear God, if I would have heard this from the mouth of Rabbi Yochanan, I would not have believed it. Some people say, the exchange was as follows. Right, it wasn't Rav Huna or Rav Yochanan, it was Rav Rechana, Amr Rav Yishuv and Levi. Hayim ahalech ben mevoz metun ofos, maneach yadol afir v'koi kirishma. Amr le Rav Chista, Rav Chista said, Ho Elokim, dear God, remember li Rav Yishuv and Levi v'pum yalo tzaisalei. Same give and take, just different personalities. Umi Amr Rav Huna hachi, did Rav Huna really say this? V'amr Rav Huna said, Talmud Chacham asur lo lamud b'makam atanufas. A Talmud Chacham is not allowed to stand in a disgusting place where it smells bad. Lefisha e efshar lo lamod b'li hiru her Torah, because it's impossible for a Talmud Chacham to be thinking about Torah. So since you're going to be thinking about Torah, and that's not appropriate to do in a disgusting place, so you can't stand there. So Lakasha, right? And now you're telling me that Rav Huna said that if you're walking past a disgusting place, you can just put your hand out of your mouth and say, Krishma, what are you talking about? I thought Rav Huna said you can't be there whatsoever. So Lokasha, the Gemara says, it's mutter if you're passing through, then it's mutter. But if you're just standing there, so then it's usher for you to stand there because you're not allowed to think about Divrei Torah. Okay, there's a difference between standing and passing by. Umi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi, did Rabbi Yochanan really say that it's mutter for a person to put his hand over his mouth and say Kriyashma? V'amar Abba Rechanan Rabbi Yochanan, v'chol mako mutter lahare b'divrei Torah chutz mibesam rechaz v'besakisei. You're always allowed to think of Divrei Torah except in a bathroom and in a bathhouse. V'chitim ha'chanami, if you can tell me the same answer, kan v'omi kava mahalich, that it's mutter if you're walking through but not if you're standing there. Aini, is that really true? Rabbi Avoka Azul Basrid Rabbi Yochanan, right? Rabbi Avo was walking with Rabbi Yochanan, behind Rabbi Yochanan. Vavaka Kari Krishma, right? Rabbi Yochanan was saying Krishma, Kimatim Bemavos Mutanofos Ishtik. And when he came to disgusting place with smell, right, garbage heap or whatever it is, he was quiet. He didn't put his hand over his mouth, and he was quiet. And Amar Leila Rabbi Yochanan, Leichan Ahadar. Where should he said to back said to him, where should I go back to? If you delayed enough time, which you could say the entire Krishma, you should go back to the beginning. So apparently, it's also to say Krishma in a dirty place. You can't just put your hand over your mouth. So Gemara says, "How could Gamar lay?" Really, this is what Rabbi Yochanan was saying to Rabbi Avo. Lididi lo svirli. I don't hold that. I hold that you could put your hand over your mouth, but lididcha the svirlicha. But according to you, hold that it's also for you to say Krishma in that dirty place. So im shayes kedei ligmoris kula chos of the rosh. If you delayed, right, enough time to say all of Krishma, then you should go back to the beginning. Tani kavasi de Rav Huna, tani kavasi de Rav Chista. So we found prices that support both Rav Huna and Rav Chista. Again, Rav Huna said that it was mutter, and Rav Chista that said that it was aser. Tani kavasi de Rav Huna. Right, the Brisa says straight up, you can put your hand over your mouth and say Krishma. Tani kavasi de Rav Chista. The Brisa says also according to Rav Chista's shita, if you're in those disgusting places, lo yikra Krishma, you should not say Krishma. Velo od, and not only that, elashim hayakore uba. If you were saying Krishma, posik, you should stop. Lo posak mai, let's say you didn't stop. So Merv Miyasha Bar Braid Rishov and Levi, right, we had him a couple times already. Alava Kasu Omer, the Pazik says about this type of person, Vigamani Nasatya Lan Chukim Lotovim and Mishpatim Lo Yichlu Bahem. But I gave them halachos that they should not live by it. Rabbi Asi Omar Rav Asi says, from this pasuk, Moshe Ayin Bechevel Yashav, where they're the Moshe Ha'avon, they're pulling sin with, I guess, straps of chait. Revada Bar Avam, Rabbi Halka, Kidrar Hashem Bizah, they've abused the word of Hashem. Okay, so meaning it's very inappropriate to say Kriya Shema in those disgusting places, and you have to stop even if you are saying Kriya Shema already. Vin Pasak Mascharo, and if he stops, what is a person's reward? Amar Rabbi Avo, Alava Kasuv Omar, the pasuk says about this person, Uba Devar Hazeh, Tarichu Yomim, your life will be extended. Okay, Rabbi Shalai, long daf today, but Shiyasha Koech for sticking to it. Tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem, we go weiter in the da in Brachos, and in a couple days, we're going to finish the third Perek. Very exciting.